On today's KHSU Magazine, our guests are Edie Jessup and Nezzy Wade from Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives. They're going before the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors tomorrow to support a redrafted shelter crisis declaration and to respond to a report from a recently formed Homeless and Housing Ad Hoc Committee. Thank you so much, Nezzy and Edie, for...
Thank you.
And tell us, tell our listeners what the shelter crisis declaration is.
Real simple. According to the California State Code on shelter crisis, it refers to a situation where a significant number of people are unable to obtain housing and their health and safety is threatened. That's basically the definition.
What you've put in your My Word article, Nezzy, is that Humboldt County has 243 emergency shelter beds, and there are 936 unsheltered homeless people, which leaves 693 people without shelter or housing.
That's what it says, and that's taken from the numbers that have been reported to HUD. The situation for any point in time count, almost anywhere, is that the numbers are an approximation or an estimate. They can't really reflect what's the case. And we had a really unfortunate experience with our last count that didn't even count people in Southern Humboldt, you know, and other smaller areas.
Wow.
So we know we don't have an accurate count. But from the advocates who work in different areas, that could be verified pretty much also anecdotally.
Well, what would this shelter crisis declaration do for the at least 700 unsheltered people or double that? What are the benefits of a shelter crisis declaration?
Well, one of the things that we had intended initially was to declare a shelter crisis and then work with the county on identifying the SB2 zones or other suitable sites that are county-owned sites, because once you declare a shelter crisis, you can use publicly owned property that is underutilized or isn't being utilized for a time or whatever the situation might be, schools, parks, buildings that are not being used, to place people in a situation where their health and safety is protected, emergency sheltering, if you will, and for the duration of the crisis.
So those unused properties, I imagine you all have identified some properties that would be beneficial. What are some of the properties and how would they be utilized for during a shelter crisis?
Well, our SB2 zones are really interesting because they were sort of put together as emergency, principally permitted emergency shelter areas. Every housing element has to have them. And throughout Humboldt County, we have these areas.
An emergency shelter that would be for an earthquake or a tsunami or something like that.
An emergency. A shelter crisis is an emergency.
Okay.
So it would segue into an opportunity to have already principally permitted sites. Some of them here are occupied. There are things happening on them. Some are not occupied. Some are, you know, and some of them are very rough. There are also what are called nomadic campground sites that were put into the housing element years ago as a way for people who didn't have housing and were in transit or whatever to have a place to shelter and so forth. They've never been implemented. So they're sitting there, they've been there. We were hoping to create a project where we might be able to implement some of these and to use the SB2 zones or any other suitable site. You know, the county has properties, and as they make them surplus properties, they can sell them, they can utilize them, they can do, in fact, they've decided to do this in order to put money into a housing trust fund, and they've offered, you know, money to develop the PG&E modular unit housing for Betty Kuan Chin Foundation. So there's a way of they know how to do things. That's the point. They know how to do things. And the things that we would like to see them do is to finally and truly, for the first time, embrace the huge gap we have in Humboldt County and everywhere, but for Humboldt County, where we have 2/3 of the people that are homeless that are very low to no income, for whom there is no security. And the policy is to move them about and their lives, not just their health and safety, but their lives are threatened. They're in a terrible situation.
So, there's so much to talk about. So basically, the shelter crisis declaration declares homelessness as an emergency, just as an earthquake or a tsunami would be an emergency. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, you know, you're going to the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow. It's on the agenda. Can you tell us where we're at in Humboldt County as far as for making this shelter crisis declaration?
Yeah. This is after over 3 years of going to the Board of Supervisors to request a shelter crisis declaration. The last couple months, they finally have put it on the agenda, which I really compliment them for finally doing that, because then it can be discussed in public. And so for the last two Board of Supervisors meetings, that has happened, and they've sent it back for revision because of what community members have shared as what would be an appropriate drafting of that resolution, so that it included the widest possible amount of people, and that it also opened up more possible venues for a transitional or a temporary until there's housing, right? Until there's permanent housing, people need to be somewhere, and be somewhere safe and dry and warm, and so that they are stabilized. And that is the hope with this. There's resistance to it. And so it'll be interesting. The second draft that they're coming with tomorrow includes talk again about winter months as being the crisis time because right. of, but it really is all year long because there just isn't housing for people. And as Nezzy says, people don't qualify for programs that exist.
And the hope of asking them in our initial petition to declare a shelter crisis and form a task force was so that we would have a broad-ranging community base and the political will to respond rapidly to the crisis. And, the shelter crisis declaration is a policy tool. That's what it should be used for, to mobilize resources and funding and foster interagency and community response, collaborations, and so forth, to address the size of the situation we have here in Humboldt. And it's possible to do. Other places have done it and are doing it now. So,
what kind of outcome are you hoping for regarding this declaration?
We have created a situation in our homeless housing implementation strategy plan to agree to not put any resources into anything but permanent housing or supportive housing, things that would get people into, quote, as they put in their thing, brick and mortar structures. This is what this is focusing on. If they do a trust fund and they do this, they want to focus on brick and mortar structures. Well, that's going to take a long time.
Right.
And people, they made it an agreement, though, by agreeing to this joint resolution to not put anything into anything but permanent housing, to leave people outside. And that's a fundamental moral difference between where we are and what we're trying to contend with, because we know that people are dying every year, and the next baby that dies of malnutrition because the mom's malnourished, or the next veteran who has PTSD and nuts up and shoots someone, or more likely him or herself, that is on us. That's on us to do these things, because what we know is that when people get stable, a lot of these issues fall away. They can get what they need. And we're leaving them out there with no stability when we could provide something different.
Right. And that something different is tiny homes. There's one individual in Los Angeles that's raising money to build tiny homes for like $1,200 a home. And he's coming up against a backlash from the city. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of like, not in my backyard. Right. And, you know, on one hand, the city of LA is saying that they want to address homeless issues. But on the other hand, they're also like removing these tiny homes. But tiny homes offer, they're like transitional housing. City of Austin's doing it. Seattle's doing it. Portland's doing it. I think Sacramento's about to do it.
Yeah, 1,000 homes.
How are those tiny home villages that you're proposing for Humboldt County, how are those working, and what are the barriers to doing something like that here?
Well, they tell us the barriers primarily are the codes.
That it's not brick and mortar, so.
Well, with respect to our tiny houses, they meet building code requirements in almost every way in terms of ingress, egress, ventilation, fire safety, all of those things. But they're not on foundations. They're temporary so that land space can be utilized for a period of time, say 3 to 5 years. That's the idea. Lease land, get people stable. And when, as people move, or if it's time, or if the land has another use in 5 years, then because they're mobile, they can be moved someplace else, and people still have a place to be. And so it's another rung in the possibilities for providing a continuum of care, which in our continuum of care here, which are all the food, service, housing providers, there's a huge gap that we simply cannot address unless we do something that's innovative, creative, different, affordable, and something that the people want to do. We're working with the people outside who really want to have a safe campsite or a safe tiny home village or some kind of a place where they can actually heal and do things that get them connected to the earth and allow them to have, you know, their experience of being who they are.
Right, and have some stability to be able to lock up their things,
yes.
You know.
And another issue is that it is also a benefit to the larger community. Folks are in places that are maintained and that they're engaged in being a community, a neighborhood together, and it gets folks out from under the bushes and all the things that the NIMBY side is upset about because of people living out, because they have no way to manage just basic human needs.
The one thing they're really good at is neighborliness. They know how to be good neighbors, and they support each other. That's why they're still alive, most of them that are out there.
Wow. Well, I appreciate all the work that you're doing and the humanity with which you're doing it. We only have about a minute and a half left. There is a Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. What are some things that you want our listeners to know about this housing crisis and about our homeless population?
Okay. So the population is really misunderstood. We need to do a much better campaign at educating people about the folks that are out there. It's a very diverse array of people that are very talented, skilled, and have issues that don't allow them the opportunity or the segue into participating without having a really hard time. When you don't have a place to gather your wits about you or keep your things together, it's really hard. A lot of people out there are working. It's really very hard. The one thing I'd like to say about the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow is it seems that they're really bent on doing a housing trust fund. And I think a housing trust fund is really, really important because it's a long-term goal and we need to do that. But we need to build into that housing trust fund some way, a set aside, a large percentage of funds that we do create to put into these alternatives that will allow that gap to be filled and to be able to recognize that it's something, it's not going to happen in a traditional sense if we just go by the models that exist. We have to do something innovative, different, and creative. And so encourage your supervisors to set aside and do something to address the gap in housing for the people that simply have nothing.
I'm probably opening a can of worms here, but what if there were an earthquake and we did need emergency shelter? What would happen then?
I suspect that we would find the places. I suspect that we would open up those SB2 zones and we'd use the CCC and the Red Cross and all those agencies, which we've modeled our field kitchen after the CCC. They did the demonstration at our Tiny House Expo. It's not a far cry from what we do, and it's according to health codes and safety codes and all those things. It's just a different way of doing things rather than just don't give people access to anything. Open up life and let us be a community.
Oh, Nezzy Wade and Edie Jessup, thank you so much for the work that you do with Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, also called AHA.
That's because it's a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks. Please come back and tell us how things develop.
Thank you.